to Fitfluential Radio, the intersection of fitness, health, wellness, and modern medicine. 50% education, 50% motivation. We're here to help you find your fitness. Tune in weekly for interviews with some of the most respected and experienced names in the business, providing actionable insights for you in every episode. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's roll. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and by major demand, I have with me in the studio again, Dr. Lane Sebring, who is my doctor. I'm going to rave about him every time I have him on the show. He has changed my health forever for the better. I thank God for him every day because he's brilliant, and that's why I pretty much stalked him to get him to be a guest on the show. And we've talked about this before. He has his own podcast show that is going to be going live next month. Dr. Sebring, welcome. Welcome back. We're going to have a show about cortisol. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready. Thank you.
You're always ready. And you and I were talking a little bit before we started recording about how I wanted to do this show on cortisol. We've polled our audience at Fitfluential, and we have really started to see a lot of increasing chatter around cortisol. And you hear it more in mainstream media, but yet people have no idea what it is. In fact, when I started telling my man friend about cortisol and referencing it, I said, you know, I think you probably might have some stress and work issues and cortisol. And he said to me, he's like, what's cortisol? I'm like, I conceptually know what it is and that how it affects us from a just our body perspective, from a fitness and weight loss perspective. But I had no idea how to explain that. So Dr. Sebring, there's a lot of people that are starting to, they get it. Like they're kind of like me. They've heard that there's a tie between this elusive cortisol thing and weight gain, or maybe not necessarily weight gain, but the inability to lose weight. And particularly, I think around the core, around the organs, and yet they don't know what it is and how, you know, is this something they can control? Is this something you take a pill for? Give us like a baseline overview of what cortisol is and how does it have an effect on weight gain or inability to lose weight or fat?
Well, yes, cortisol has a huge number of functions. It's truly is the most important hormone in the body. It helps us, it's best known probably for its ability to help us handle stress. And the fact that when we're under stress, it goes up, it increases in the bloodstream to help us deal with that stress. If you were to go into a burn unit where the patients had went into the hospital because of burns, you would find that those people had very high cortisol levels, helping them to deal with that horrific stress. But it also goes up and down through the day and has a biorhythm that's normal for a 24-hour day. It goes up in the morning. It helps us wake up. As it rises up, that's basically what wakes us up in the morning. It gets sugar into our brain. And so the brain needs sugar in the morning to get jump started, unless you're doing the ketogenic diet, but that's a whole nother story. So the best 99.9% of us are living off of glucose, sugar. And so, yes, it helps that get into the brain, and the brain starts functioning better in the morning with that. It begins to drop off. Cortisol does, starts to drop off. And then by noon, it's come down, let's say 20 in the morning for cortisol. When it reaches about an hour before we get up, it goes up to about 20. That's going to be its highest for the day. And then around noon, it's come down to around 11. And then by bedtime, it still could be a 9, even a 10 for some people, maybe an 8, but around in there. And then when the lights go out, melatonin kicks in and lowers cortisol to down to about 5. And at that level, it's kind of hard to get sugar into the brain and keeps us a little hypoglycemic in the brain, making us a little sleepy. It stays at that level at night, and the adrenal glands that make cortisol, they sort of repair at night. They spend more energy doing repair and getting ready for the big jump in the morning. And that's what happened. That's that same cycle over again. And then the early morning hours, it starts to rise. And then we wake up and then it rises again a little bit more for about another hour. And then it starts to taper off. But that's basically the biorhythm and what it does. It's required to get sugar into the brain. It helps us deal with stress. It also lowers inflammation. If you Say you get a bad case of poison ivy and you go to the doctor, they're going to give you a steroid that's kind of a cortisol lookalike to help decrease that itching and decrease your immune response to that. It's good for allergies. It helps to lower our symptoms from allergies. Hmm. And they have a cortisol that we use as a nasal spray, you know, that that people use to help get rid of their allergies. But it does a tremendous number of things like that.
So when people are getting like hydrocortisone over the counter, is that, I'm just asking you like dumb consumer question 101, is that related to cortisol?
That's what it is, yes.
Okay, interesting.
It's a prescription, but in very small amounts, they do have it over the counter.
So hearing you describe this, it makes sense, but it also to me illustrates how, okay, nothing in our body is a silo. Like cortisol works with, based on my, I just took notes, it's a hormone. Did you say the adrenal glands produce it? Is that right?
Correct. The adrenal glands sit right on top of our kidneys, back in your flank, lower back on the side where people get love handles. And right there on top of that kidney is a small little pyramid-shaped organ called the adrenal glands. Very important.
No kidding. And so the adrenal glands are involved in cortisol. It's, you know, you talked about melatonin, which some people think melatonin is just a pill you take at night to go to sleep. That's not. It's actually something that we can produce on our own if we're operating effectively or optimally. Everything is connected. In other words, like everything inside of our body is connected, but everything going on outside of our body, our sleep, our stress levels, all of that contribute to this. So several things that you brought up here made me think about a lot of what folks are writing into us about. And that is, you know, if your cortisol is working like it should be, you are going to naturally be tired at night. You're going to fall asleep naturally. You're going to sleep through the night, and your body will naturally wake up at a certain time in the morning because of cortisol. Cortisol starts to rise. It gets the sugar thing going, and that's natural. What happens when your cortisol is off, it can be off. And I remember when I was first coming to see you a little over a year ago, I was regularly, and so this is one of the questions we get a lot. People are writing in saying, I'm getting up every night at 3 a.m. For me, I remember when I first started seeing you, I said, I'm getting up like clockwork every single night at 2:00 a.m. And so a lot of people are writing in with this problem. In fact, my man friend had it for a while. And that's where I, Dr. Kelly, for everybody that's listening, I'm just kidding. I'm not a doctor. I'm just one that hangs out with doctors. But I was saying to Steve, I'm guessing if you're getting up every night at 4:00 a.m. and you can't fall back to sleep, it could be a cortisol thing. Now, that was just me guessing. But when people are regularly waking up in the middle of the night, because we have a ton of people writing in about sleep problems, they either can't fall asleep or they take something, they're overdosing on melatonin to fall asleep, and then they're waking up at 2 or 3 or 4 a.m. and they can't fall back asleep. Is that sometimes related to cortisol?
Yeah, more often than not. You can set that pattern and the body will kind of get dialed into that. But what happens is when we're under a lot of stress, we're designed for stress. And the cortisol is supposed to go up with that stress to help us deal with it. But today's world is not normal. It's not like the hunter-gatherer genetics and body that we have. And so hunter-gatherers deal with stress, but they're designed for episodic stress, like the hut's on fire or, you know, running from a woolly rhinoceros.
I almost spit my water out when you said that. I'm sorry. The hut's on fire. Continue.
So, well, or even seasonal stress like a drought, but not day in, day out, you know, waking up by an alarm clock every day that startles you awake. And then you've got all these stresses of the day, all these deadlines and, you know, nutrition that's not sufficient and the IRS is after you and, you know, everything's immediate and a disaster. And so there's no real decompression. You know, the average hunter-gatherer works 2.5 hours a day. That's the average hunter-gatherer work day. So we're designed to be kind of living more of a retired life, but we don't have that now. So our adrenal glands tend to wear out. They get stressed and they can't keep up. So cortisol starts to waver a bit, and it's not this beautiful biorhythm. And one of the first things that you notice when somebody is having adrenal, well, as the term, adrenal burnout or adrenal fatigue, which is a lighter version of that, when they have that, the biorhythm gets, it becomes inverted, where cortisol is low during the day and it can be high at night. That's one of the first signs of the adrenal fatigue, first stages. And so when your cortisol is high, you're awake. There's also a situation where a person further down the road where the adrenal glands really get weak, and maybe they're very low at night, and cortisol goes too low. You know, I say it goes down to 4 or 5 at night, but maybe it goes down to 1 or even lower, less than 1. And so then the brain says, hey, we may be sleeping, but we still have work to do. And in fact, the brain actually burns more energy at night than during the day, as it sorts things out and does repair. So the brain sends down an emergency signal down to the adrenal glands and say, hey, wake up. You know, we need sugar up here to do this work. And so it sends down a big signal. If that signal is large enough down to the adrenals, it'll bleed over into the part of the brain that actually produces adrenaline. And sometimes we'll wake up in the middle of the night, not just with cortisol, like what you know sometimes you may be experiencing, but with adrenaline. And so you wake up, your heart is pounding, you're scared, you're in the middle of a panic attack. That's what that is. And so cortisol is responsible for so much of the problems today. And it's never looked at. You know, this is an integrated medicine hormone. Modern medicine pays almost no attention to it.
Yeah, I certainly know that in my, gosh, it's been so long since I've seen like the traditional kinds of doctors that I used to. So I'm used to being around people or practitioners. Obviously you're my doctor that deal with this and that know it, but so many people who are writing in are still, in fact, I would say, and I've shared some of these messages with you privately. A lot of what people are writing into us at Fifth Lentil about is saying, I'm going to see my OBGYN and they're saying this. I'm going to see my doctor and they're saying, you don't have a problem. You're in range. I got this blood work or saliva test through the mail and it says my cortisol is high. Actually, I'm going to bring that up. You know, a lot of people that are writing in and some of you guys listening, you're maybe sensing that you've had these issues and maybe you're doing some of these tests that are out there. I'm starting to see a lot more and there's like saliva test for this. And, you know, I've seen some of the results that people are getting and these tests that some of them are saliva, some of them are, I don't think I've seen many that are blood work, but these people are coming back and they're saying, oh, well, this test tells me I have high cortisol. And I remember saying to a friend of mine that I know, I'm like, well, you know, and again, I'm not the doctor. I was just going by what you told me when you've tested my blood work, Dr. Sebring. I always have very specific instructions. Have your blood work done at this time in the morning. It has to be fasted. We have to know exactly when your blood work was taken for certain things, not for everything. But when people are getting tested like that, and it's some random test that's saying, oh, your vitamin D is low, your vitamin Z is up here, and your cortisol is really high, and they weren't fasting, and they have no idea when they took it. Like it was, like you said, right after a workout in the afternoon. Could they be getting completely skewed results because they really don't know the context of when they're testing that cortisol level?
Absolutely. That's a big problem. You know, people are getting bad information and leading them the wrong way. There are times that a weak adrenal can jump up and put out a pretty good amount, and you might think you're doing pretty good. So you really need to know. It's very contextual. It has to be in regards to meals, how far after a meal, because it's going to be high for a couple hours after a meal. And then you have that biorhythm where it's high in the morning, and then by noon it's come down to almost cut in half. And then through the day, you know, it should stay pretty steady until, you know, about time ready to go to bed. And so when you don't know what time of day it is, you're going to be very misled by that. And most doctors, you know, this will, I think, help people to understand why their doctors aren't looking at cortisol very much. And that is that doctors have been scared off of cortisol. We, in the 60s, we were told too much cortisol was being prescribed because it helped for so many things. It was a very common problem. It's much more common now than then, but it was overused, so we were told. But it fixed way too many things. People would come in with a cold, they'd get a steroid shot, and they'd pretty well be gone. And so, because it can really do a number of magical things for the body.
Can I interrupt you? I'm sorry, and I don't want to get off your train of thought. Because I think is it cortisone shots? So that's different than over-the-counter hydrocortisone that you get for bug bites and stuff. But you can actually, like a lot of athletes will say, oh, I'm getting cortisone in my knee or in my shoulder. Is that what you refer to with where in the 60s they had this and they were prescribing it a lot?
Well, most of the stuff that we use today is not cortisone. Most doctors never give cortisone. They'll give a drug that is a lookalike that has some of the properties of cortisone, looks like it molecularly to some degree. And so it's based off of that, but it's not really cortisone. And actually what you're getting, the hydrocortisone and cortisone are basically the same thing. It's basically the exact same molecule. It's just in a little bit different shape. It can, when it's in the body, it jumps out of those two different molecular structures back and forth all the time. So those are the same thing. The stuff that you're getting over the counter, it's just in a very small amount, so it's not to have much of a negative effect. Hmm. But what the injections are for the athletes or whatever, that's a lookalike.
Interesting, because I always think people talk about that a lot. Like my mom injured her knee, and my dad has had knee issues, and you know they're always talking about going in and it's gonna hurt. My ex-husband had that. And he'd say, well, I can go in and get a cortisone. I thought it was, they were saying a cortisone shot, and they would act like it was some big deal, that it was kind of painful, but it worked.
Yeah, it works. And they probably gave him something like Celestone or something like that, that lasts a lot longer.
Okay.
And so it'll last in the body longer. Cortisone is a hormone, and the body makes it. So you don't want it lasting long time, because that way you don't have much control over it. If it's quick acting, like most of our hormones are, then the body can just stop making it and it goes away. And so, but the longer acting is what they'll inject, because they want that to last maybe 2 weeks or in some cases 3 months. And so we can do that. We've altered those molecules to do that. So they have different flavors, but they almost never use cortisol or cortisone as an injection.
Okay.
Or as a tablet that you can take. I use it all the time because it's a huge problem that people have, and it wakes them up. I mean, you know, I sort of joke and I say, you know, you can resurrect someone with this stuff. I mean, I had a patient and she was, I think her cortisol level was like 0.2. She had been in bed for about 2.5 years. And I started giving her cortisone. She went back to work and doing her old job. She turned into a different person again, back to who she was. She started ordering her husband around again, you know, as opposed to being this little lady that just couldn't really manifest any effort, physical or mental.
Well, we did that with me. I don't want to know if this is the right word, but it fixed me, because when I first started to see you, I was hitting the wall every day at 4 o'clock. Like the only way I can describe it to people is every day at 4 o'clock, I would go from feeling completely normal, high energy, Kelly O, to I think I have strep throat, Kelly O. And I would be like, I've got to lie down in bed, I'm exhausted. And it was like that, precisely at 4 o'clock. And after I saw you, I think it wasn't a very long time, but we did the prescription. And then the first thing you wanted to do is you were, you know, like, hey, let's wean you off of that. And you said, don't take it if you don't need it. And I'm not on it anymore, but I don't have those crashes anymore. But I've also worked a lot on lifestyle things, which we're going to cover in a little bit, but I can testify that what he's saying is absolutely true, because it worked for me in a huge way. And I was also waking up in the middle of the night at 2 in the morning, and I don't anymore. I sleep through the night very naturally.
Right. we say we got your biorhythm working like it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. What we did was provide you with a little cortisol and some supplements. I hope you don't mind me saying this. Is that
no,
okay?
Of course not.
Okay. And so we provided you with supplements that actually help your adrenals get stronger. But, you know, at the same time, if they're worn out, totally worn out by 4 o'clock and you can no longer get sugar into your brain, then your brain starts to wear out. And so what we did then was give you a time-release cortisol that lasted about 12 hours. So that then you would take it about 13 hours before bed. Mm-hmm. And you have a nice steady energy level through the day. That takes some of the stress off the adrenal glands so that they can put some of their energy into repair. And that along with the supplements then, fairly quickly, we can get you off one or both of those. And so now you're off, you're doing great, and you stop them and you don't notice any difference. You're not crashing anymore. And we say, great, you got them back working again, as opposed to the thyroid, which is much more difficult to get working normal again. The
Amen
adrenal glands,
that.
You can act.
That's going to be a whole other episode, by the way, for everybody listening. We're doing a whole episode on thyroid and hypothyroidism. But back to what I remember, Dr. Sebring, when you told me, when I went on hydrocortisone? Is it hydrocortisol?
It's hydrocortisone. And what you really want to, we talk about is cortisol, because okay. That's the hormone that's.
But you put it, and you told me, you said, because I remember you were saying, you have to take it, when do you go to bed? And I'm like, you know, whatever I said, 10 o'clock. And then you said, you've got to take it at this time every morning. And, you know, people like us, like the consumer, Joe, you know, guy or girl out there, we're like, when does it matter when I take it? But it did. And now I'm kind of understanding a bigger picture of why the time release. But I'm just saying for everybody listening, it absolutely worked. Those issues that I had, I don't. And certainly I did have to focus, and I'm still focusing on improving my stress, my sleep, my lifestyle issues. So it wasn't just one part. It was adding supplements. It was watching what I'm eating. It was changing how I train. We're going to get into a little bit of that in a second about how working out is stress on the body. What you eat is related to cortisol, but that absolutely made a huge difference. And the way that you described this today, I mean, I have such a better understanding, and it makes sense when you understand that, like you said, at night, your cortisol can get way too, for people that have cortisol that's getting way too low at night, then the brain is saying, you know, wait a second, this is too low. And it's almost signaling those adrenal glands, like, wake up, wake up, wake up. And that's when you can have that adrenaline. Because I do know, I think one time I woke up one time in my life with a panic attack in the middle of the night. And we've had a lot of people write in about that. So all of this, if you're listening, it starts to make sense what's going on with your body. And if you're starting to look at your life and you have a high stress environment, which I think sadly is very, very common, both with work, with kids, with financial problems, with, you know, job problems in general, with, you know, people that are listening to Fitfluential Radio. A lot of us are fitness fanatics, and we can easily, I'm one of them, get into a place where we have goals, we're not getting there, we're not yet realizing how all of the stress is affecting our body. And so we're like, well, I'm going to push myself harder. I'm going to train harder. I'm going to do more working out, and I'm going to eat less. And that in and of itself can affect cortisol, your adrenals. Am I right about that? Am I summarizing that? You tell us from the doctor perspective, you know, you mentioned that working out and all of the stressors on our body can just be lifestyle stuff. So how does, you know, how can it be when people are really pursuing fitness, sometimes too hard, they don't realize they can actually be doing, and I think I'm one of them, the very opposite of what they want to do to their body, which is, you know, destroying their adrenals and basically setting yourself up for fat storage versus fat loss.
Yes, absolutely. It's really nice when we have case histories to talk about, but it's kind of ironic though that you do want to work out. If you're starting to really burn out your adrenals, if it's seriously burnout, you need to just the rest, forget the workout. But if you're still on the, you still can work out, you still got some pretty good energy, but you're noticing a lot more fatigue. What you want to do is you want to work out, but a whole lot less. You need to work out a lot less than what you think is morally required, because you're really hurting at this point. And so, because a lot of people, they just have this drive, and it's just like you said, more is better. I'm going to fix it by working harder. And we lose a lot of wonderful people, very highly productive, with great integrity, to adrenal fatigue because of their integrity. And they just take on more and more. You know, when so what you want to do is you want to actually back off of your workouts. You want to get your heart rate up a little bit. You want to warm up a little bit. You want to move your muscles. You want to do that. But anything more than about 15 minutes is going to be stressing you more than you really need and can handle. And so that's the hardest part for the, you know, the people that work out and people that just sort of drive themselves. It's the hardest part for them to do is to actually stop a lot earlier than they normally would. But that's required for the body to repair. Cutting back, delegate, all kinds of things, making sure that you make sleep a priority. You have to recover. If you can't get a good night's rest, you're not going to repair those adrenals. And as that's just, you know, people reach their end. I'll tell you something I found early on in my residency, doing a family medicine residency at the UT Health Science Center. And we would have people that would come in, and they reminded me of a drug addict in a very interesting way. They would come in and they would say, "Doc, I just can't get out of bed anymore. I used to be such a hard worker. I mean, I was working 3 jobs, wasn't I, honey? And I was a hard worker. And I really, he worked hard, or she worked a lot. She took care of all the kids and all this. And then now she can't get out of bed. And can you sign for disability?" You know, or can you get me on Social Security? And so that reminded me of a drug addict that came in, and they would come, drug seekers, we call them, and they would come to the emergency room. "Oh, I really hurt my back. It really hurts bad, Doc. I can handle a lot of pain, can I, honey? I can, but this is bad, Doc. And that drug doesn't work, and that drug doesn't work, but this drug here, that one works really good." And so they're just seeking that one drug they want, and there's sort of a red flag would go up. It's kind of a similar pattern. And so, but there was something about these people that talked about the work that showed me they had integrity. They were telling the truth, and you could see that. And I wondered about these people, how they got so burned out, because I was really never taught about this adrenal fatigue aspect in med school, and neither is anyone else. And it's truly the disease of the 21st century. It's been around forever, but it's almost everyone now has a level of adrenal fatigue.
You know what? This is actually, I've never done this. I've never been able to plan this so perfectly, but I realize that we are like precisely at a good point. We're going to do, this is a 2-part episode, you guys. So I'm going to end the episode here. This is the end of part one, because now we can dive into part two of this cortisol episode. And you gave the perfect trailer there. We're going to start talking about lifestyle, why this is the 21st century disease, and how it affects fitness results in part two.